The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Nigel Farage is facing new allegations about his finances. The latest accusations involve a man called George Cottrell, who is a long-term advisor to Farage and who was jailed for fraud in the United States. Mr. Cottrell is alleged to have provided staffing, security and housing for Reform UK, while also offering Nigel Farage the use of a five-storey Georgian townhouse that he rented near Buckingham Palace. I'm joined now by Tim Bale, Professor of Politics at Queen Mary University of London, and Kevin Maguire, Daily Mirror columnist. And thank you both for being with us. Kevin, how serious is this for Nigel Farage, in your opinion?
I think it's pretty serious because it's on top of another controversy overtaking £5 million shortly before he stood for Parliament from a Thai-based crypto billionaire. And he's been again reported to the sleazebuster in Parliament, the Liberal Democrats, this time demanding an inquiry. Because MPs, when they be first elected, they have to register any significant benefits in the previous 12 months, which he has not done. He claims no rules were breached. George Cottrell, known as Posh George within the Reform Party, he's the son of an aristocrat who was said to have briefly dated Prince Charles. He's a cryptocurrency gambler and significantly a convicted fraudster. But he says it's all purely personal, Farage, so it didn't have to be registered. However, Posh George Cottrell, had a Reform Party business card, which gave him some status within the party. He's always been at his side. He's described as the Farage whisperer, is said to have referred to Farage as daddy in a very affectionate tone. And so I think it's coming on top of the £5 million questions. I think this is serious for Farage.
Tim, what do you think? Because there is some compound interest at play here, as Kevin has just been explaining to us. The £5 million donation, also the money that he earned from the gold bullion company, coupled with these revelations at the weekend. Do you think they're starting to cut through with voters?
I think they probably are, actually. I think many people who vote for populist parties like Nigel Farage's Reform don't necessarily mind the leaders of those parties being pretty well off. But I think they do mind if there's any suggestion of corruption there. I obviously am not in a position to judge whether that is the case or not. But I think the kind of smell of it, as far as voters are concerned, is a bit of a problem. And I think Kevin's absolutely right. It's going to be very, very difficult, I think, for him to get away with the idea that these benefits in kind that came from Cottrell were non-political. In order to be able to, as it were, escape censure from the parliamentary commissioner, he's got to be able to show that they were purely personal. But given that they were, for example, for someone to handle Farage's social media, and given that they were for security, they're almost certainly something to do with his life as a politician. And remember, you don't have to be an MP. They just have to relate to anything you do politically in the 12 months leading up to you being elected.
Mm-hmm. And electorally, Tim, I mean, you can say, well, it might not matter to Reform UK voters who are clearly fans of Nigel Farage, but the party has to grow if it's to move from where it stands right now to have any sort of electoral advantage. It has to attract more people to vote for it.
It does. And at the moment, anyway, it would seem to be going slightly off the boil. I mean, a few months ago, Reform was registering opinion poll ratings around 30, 33%. It's now down around 25, 26%. It did very well in the local elections, but it's still the case that it doesn't seem to have the momentum that it had before. And of course, it's being threatened on its right flank as well by this new party registered by Rupert Lowe, which is even further to the right than Reform UK. So it has got problems, I think.
Now, a listener, Kevin, says that the establishment is terrified of Nigel Farage, and that chimes with what Robert Jenrick, who left the Tories for Reform, did yesterday when he launched that fairly wild attack on the Sky presenter Trevor Phillips, accusing the media of inventing stories to keep Labour in power. Is that a sign of Reform panicking here when they see that perhaps they're on the ropes? It was an interesting reaction at the least.
Yes, because you could argue quite legitimately that Nigel Farage, a career politician after being privately educated and a city slicker, is part of a political elite himself, as are several other prominent, incredibly wealthy members of Reform. But of course, he has to say that, and there's some truth in it. There's no doubt other parties are attacking him, but they revert to that, just say, oh, it's all a plot, infamy, infamy, they've all got it, infamy, as they might have said in Carry On Nigel, because they can't refute the facts. I mean, that is the problem. He now admits he took a £5 million secret gift from Christopher Harborne, the Thai-based tycoon. Initially, the Reform said it was for security. Then Nigel Farage himself said it was a reward for Brexit. And then he said, oh, it was just money. He could do whatever he likes. He could spend it on Ferraris or gambling if he wishes. And they've essentially stood up the main facts about George Cotterill, revealed in the Sunday Times, about the use of the flat, paying for drivers, the media team, three strong, security. And because they have difficulty answering those questions, they say, oh, no, everybody's just got it in for him. Well, He's got it in for other politicians. Yes, politicians have got it in for him. I find it amusing to think the Times and Sunday Times, owned by Rupert Murdoch, are part of some left-wing plot against him. I don't think it is. I think it was good journalism. I think he, 6 months ago, looked a red-hot favourite to be the next prime minister. He's still certainly in the race, but he is now facing scrutiny and accountability, and he doesn't like it.
Well, we know, Tim, that he idol worships Donald Trump, and perhaps he is mirroring his behaviour in some way. But did he misjudge how the British public views these things?
I think he probably did. I mean, I think it's the case that he, to some extent, is Teflon, like Donald Trump is Teflon. But I do think that the British respond very negatively to any accusations of hypocrisy. That's almost the worst sin that any British politician can commit. So whatever Trump's fan base seems to forgive him for, I'm not entirely sure that it is the case that Nigel Farage's fan base, such as it is, will forgive him. I have to say, obviously, that you know there are still some committed Farageists who won't hear a word said against him. The problem, and you alluded to this earlier, is that in order to win a general election, even to become the largest party after the next general election, he's got to get a whole load of essentially Reform curious voters rather than his natural fans on board. And I think it's those people who will begin to wonder whether Nigel Farage is all he's cracked up to be.
So what happens then? I know Kevin mentioned the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards and where this might go. But what is the procedure, Tim, and how far away are we from that happening?
Well, the other parties have asked for this set of allegations to be considered alongside the allegations that are already being considered by the Parliamentary Commissioner. It's within his rights then to recommend some sanctions, but it would then be for a committee of MPs to recommend sanctions. And if those sanctions go above a 10-day suspension, then it is possible that his constituents can do a recall petition if 10% of them vote for that. And if that happens we go to a by-election, then anything could happen. I mean, it might well be, of course, that Farage's fans in Clacton would re-elect him. I think it would depend on what the other parties do and who they would put up. There is some talk, maybe, if that were to happen, of a replay of something that happened a few years ago when a non-party candidate was put up against an MP, a Tory MP, who was accused of all sorts of nefarious things. And he won, Martin Bell, the BBC journalist. So I guess if the other parties could come up with a candidate like that and all agree on him, there is a chance that they could defeat Nigel Farage and take him out of Parliament altogether.
And Kevin, before we let you go, we did well to get you this morning because you've been up all night, haven't you?
I've had a whale of a time, Claire.
It was a good watch. I didn't watch it, but I hear it was a magnificent game.
It had everything. Five goals, a red card, great saves, Harry Kane losing his voice at the end. And as he was given an interview, it sounded like a mock German accent from Hallo, Hallo. And then Jordan Henderson, a substitute, he never played. He got a yellow card and then got injured by tripping over an advertising hoarding. It had everything. A game for the ages.
And you look forward to the next one. Tim, you were more sensible, were you? Did you get some sleep?
I did, but I watched the highlights at about 6:30 this morning. So, yeah, I just thought it was best not to. To be honest, I thought, and I shouldn't say this, but I thought we would probably lose. So I was absolutely delighted that we actually managed to win. But the agony of watching England continues.
Not cow milked in England today. Thank you both for being with us, Tim Bale and Kevin McGuire.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.